You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone around the globe. Welcome in to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, March 29, 2022. I'm one of your hosts, Snowbike Mike, and today I am joined by my guy, the Rogue One, one of my gaming dads, and the co-host of the Kinda Funny X-Cast, Gary Witta. What up, Gary? How are you today?
I'm good, Mike. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Gary. You know, week number three of you and I taking over Kinda Funny Games Daily together, and I'm feeling good, looking good, got some good sleep, awaited the big news that seemed to come today. We got a lot to talk about, Gary.
I'm liking the energy that you that you bring every Tuesday and every Friday on the X-Cast, but I think that we've turned into a good pairing on KFGD. And my I don't know if it's lucky or not, but my streak of big news items dropping on a Tuesday, it continues. We've got big PlayStation news, we've got big Nintendo news. So as we said earlier, who better than the Xbox crew to break it all down for you?
Who better than us, Gary, is right. But I do have some special guests coming in for all of those PlayStation fans out there and Nintendo fans. So you won't just get the Xbox, but of course, me and Gary are gamers, right? Gary, I want you to know, yesterday I was playing Zelda Breath of the Wild, as many of the best friends know. I'm playing through that game for the first time ever. And I went up to the top of a peak above Zora's Dominion. And they said, Mike, you got to get some lightning arrows, but be careful. There's a giant centaur man there that might rough you up a little bit, Gary. And I said, don't worry. I am Link, and I will destroy this centaur man. And I battled him, Gary, for a whole 90 minutes, and I did defeat that foe.
Took you 90 minutes?
Gary, this guy didn't mess around. Okay, Gary, this guy
What's the longest you've ever taken on an Elden Ring boss? That seems like a long time.
You're right, Gary. You know what? Elden Ring boss comes easy to me. I don't know what it is, but coming easy to me over here. But we do have some Zelda Breath of the Wild news, and we got a lot of news, Gary. So let's just get into it because, of course, today's stories include the first details of the new PlayStation Plus tiers, Zelda Breath of the Wild 2 delayed, and Fortnite adds no build mode as a permanent mode because this is the Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. West Coast, Best Coast time, live here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We bring you the nerdy news you need to know about. Of course, if you're not watching, don't worry. You can go catch it live. You can go catch it on the VOD over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or listen on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Don't forget, we are now Epic Games partners, which means you can jump into Fortnite and upgrade your look, or jump into Rocket League and upgrade your cars, cosmetics, or buy games off the Epic Games Store and use our Epic creator code at checkout. That's Kinda Funny. It's no additional cost. You can help support the team in a brand new way. And talking about supporting the team, don't forget, if you are part of our Patreon, if you go over there and support us over at the bronze tier or above, you can write into the show. And if you subscribe at the silver tier or above, you get the show ad-free without having to watch any of those pesky ads here on Twitch or over on the VOD. But talking about Patreon producers, I'd like to give a big thank you to our Patreon producers of the month for March: Gordon McGuire, Fargo Brady, and Pranksky. But today, the show is brought to you by Uplift Desks. We'll tell you all about them in just a little bit. But for now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Today, we have three news stories.
A baker's dozen.
Thank you, Kevin. Of course, the big one, Mr. Gary Witt. And I have brought in a special guest, the young king, Forbes 30 Under 30. Of course, the future class of video games, Mr. Blessing Adeoye Jr. is here to join us and talk all things PlayStation Plus, because we got new details on the new PlayStation Plus tiers right now today, and it's coming straight from the PlayStation blog post. We got a lot, and so I've also read up on the games industry.biz article where they have a sit-down interview with Jim Ryan himself. So I'll pull a couple of pieces from that. I highly encourage you to go check that out over on gamesindustry.biz. A great sit-down interview with Jim Ryan. But let's pull right from the PlayStation blog right now. All new PlayStation Plus launches in June with 700 plus games and more value than ever. Today, we are pleased to share with you official news about changes coming to our subscription service. This June, we're bringing together PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now in an all-new PlayStation Plus subscription service that provides more choice to customers across three membership tiers globally. Our focus is on providing high-quality, curated content with a diverse portfolio of games. Here's an overview of the three membership tiers. At the bottom tier, PlayStation Plus Essential Benefits provides the same benefits that PlayStation Plus members are getting today, such as 2 monthly downloadable games, exclusive discounts, cloud storage for saved games, online multiplayer access. There are no changes for existing PlayStation Plus members in this tier. The price for PlayStation Plus Essential remains the same as the current price for PlayStation Plus. United States, of course, if you're outside the States, go take a look at your pricing structure. I want to keep it short and simple. $9 a month, $24.99 quarterly, and $60 yearly. PlayStation Plus Extra, your benefits for this mid-tier, provides all the benefits from the Essential tier, adds a category or a catalog of up to 400 of the most enjoyable PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 games, including blockbuster hits from our PlayStation Studios catalog and third-party partners. Games in the Extra tier are downloadable for play. The price in the U.S., $14.99 a month, $40 quarterly, $100 yearly. PlayStation Premium, your top dog, here's your benefits, provides all the benefits from the Essential and Extra tiers, adds up to 340 additional games, including PlayStation 3 games available via cloud streaming, a catalog of beloved classic games available in both streaming and download options from the original PlayStation, PS2, and PSP generations, offers cloud streaming access for original PlayStation, PS2, PSP, and PS4 games offered in the Extra and Premium tiers in markets where PlayStation Now is currently available. Customers can stream games using the PS4 and PS5 consoles and PC. Time-limited game trials will also be offered in this tier so customers can try select games before they buy. The price for the big tier, United States, $18 a month, $50 quarterly, $120 yearly. Now, I do want to add a little caveat for all of you outside of the States and in areas where cloud streaming is not an option. They say PlayStation Plus Deluxe for select markets. So this is your fourth tier, but for select markets out there. For markets without cloud streaming, PlayStation Plus Deluxe will be offered at a lower price compared to Premium and includes the catalog of beloved classic games from the original PlayStation, PlayStation 2, and PSP generations to download and play, along with time-limited game trials. Benefits from Essential and Extra tiers will also be included. Local pricing will vary depending on your market. To wrap this up before we start discussing, the new Extra and Premium tiers represent a major evolution for PlayStation Plus. With these tiers, our key focus is to ensure the hundreds of games we offer will include the best quality content that sets it apart. At launch, we plan to include titles such as Death Stranding, God of War, Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales, Mortal Kombat, and Returnal. We're working closely with our imaginative developers from PlayStation Studios and third-party partners to include some of the best gaming experiences available with a library that will be regularly refreshed. More details to come on the games we'll have on our new PlayStation Plus service. Banana, somebody wrote in there. When the new PlayStation Plus service launches, PlayStation Now will transition into the new PlayStation Plus offering and will no longer be available as a standalone service. PlayStation Now customers will migrate over to PlayStation Plus Premium with no increase to their current subscription fees at launch. We're providing an early look at our new PlayStation Plus subscription service today, and we'll plan to share more information with you as we get closer to launch. Stay tuned. So Gary Whitta, of course, we brought on Blessing, so I'll get him involved in just a moment as well. That's a lot of breakdown, but really we're breaking it down into three big tiers: PlayStation Plus Essential, PlayStation Plus Extra, PlayStation Plus Premium. Okay. And so they all offer different things. Let's just gauge the room. Gary Whitta, how does this sound? Are you excited for the new PlayStation Plus offerings?
There's a lot to unpack, certainly. There's a lot to talk about. And I want to start by saying it's, you know, we don't yet know enough to know whether or not this is a true Game Pass competitor.
Oh, wow.
This
okay.
is still very broad strokes. There's a couple of big things we can point to. I think that Sony clearly needed to do something because they've been getting kicked all around the block by Game Pass. It's, you know, it's the thing that everybody loves, and people keep saying, like, where's the Sony version of that? And plus also their previous offering was a bit of a mess, right? PlayStation Plus, PlayStation Now. There was a lot of confusion as to why would you need both? What do you get from each one? And they've consolidated that and cleaned all that up and rebranded everything under this new offering. So that makes a lot of sense for them. There's a lot of specifics missing. You know, they say 400 titles on this tier, 700 titles on that tier. We don't yet know what those titles are. Certainly they threw out some big names, you know, Miles Morales, God of War, these, you know, Return, all these are all big names, but they're catalog titles. And of course, the headline news that's come out of this, and Jim Ryan, they clearly anticipated the need, you know, to address this right away, is Jim Ryan obviously came out with an accompanying piece of commentary saying, we didn't feel it was the right choice for us here at Sony to do day and date new releases, first party releases and big third party releases. And that, of course, is one of the flagship features of Game Pass, right? Big title, everything from Halo and Forza and Age of Empires. So, you know, third party titles like Tunic that just dropped, you know, there's always something new dropping on Game Pass. Sony's not going to, has clearly decided they don't want to go down that road. And it's interesting the differences in philosophies, right? Because these Sony and PlayStation and Xbox, very, very similar companies. They make very similar game boxes, right? Aimed at very similar audiences, selling very similar games. There's not a lot of daylight between the two companies in terms of the kind of products they make and who they try to sell them to. But when it comes to this very, very key part of it, you know, the fact that Microsoft has really distinguished itself by saying, yeah, you're going to get all of our key first party titles, plus a bunch of, you know, other really good new releases practically every week. That's a key offering of Game Pass. Sony has said, yeah, for whatever reason, we're not going to do. Jim Ryan actually didn't go into it. He just said, it's good for our titles. We don't think it's a good choice for us, but he didn't elaborate. But that's, I think, initially what people are talking about. Well, where's the big day and date stuff? Like, why can't we get God of War? If I pay for PlayStation Plus Premium and I'm paying essentially the same price as I am for Game Pass, why don't I get God of War, Ragnarok the day it comes out, you know, Wolverine or the next, you know, big title that's going to be, you know, exclusive to the platform? They've decided they don't want to do that. So what's left? A big catalog of legacy titles, catalog titles, which they have not elaborated on. The PlayStation 3 stuff's nice. Cloud streaming, of course, I think is a product of the fact that the PlayStation 3 had that funky cell processor, difficult to emulate locally, so they're going to have to do streaming. Ultimately, I think it's too early to say. I think, you know, we've been living with Game Pass for a while. A lot of us have had that experience in our houses for a long time. We're used to Game Pass. It's part of our daily gaming lives. We've gotten used to it. We know what it is, and we understand what we think of it in terms of value. I don't think it's fair to take that, a system that we've lived with for a long time, and compare it to this very still kind of broad stroke blue sky description that Sony is offering 3 months from release. We need to know what the games are. We need to know how well the cloud streaming is going to work. We need to know how often and how frequently are they going to refresh the library and with what quality of titles. We don't know any of that yet, and we won't know that until the service has had a bit of time to bed in. But right now, certainly, I think the biggest news that I responded to and what I've seen so far in terms of kind of the, you know, the hot take machine spitting out its opinion on this is the lack of that big, you know, first party day and date releases seems to be the big differentiator.
Yeah, Gary, you're so right. And I'm happy that we were able to bring on Blessing. So Blessing, thank you for your morning and thank you for your time to come join us, because, of course, the chat and the comments will go wild as you and I, hosts of the Kind of Funny XCast, people will look at us as we're comparing, you know, apples to apples, but really it is a different service, right? And Blessing will tell you here in just a moment, Spartacus, when it was first announced, people were putting it up as the Game Pass competitor. And we kind of rolled that back in the weeks leading up to today of, well, you know, it's not a Game Pass competitor. It's going to be its own different service. It will offer its own different stuff. And today we clearly see that. So I'm glad that Blessing is here because we can have the PlayStation's perspective on this. PlayStation, I should say Blessing, I'm looking at a lot of feeds on my timelines. I'm looking at a lot of people's initial reaction. As a PlayStation fan, where are you? Are you happy with what Jim Ryan and the team over at Sony have presented to you as a PlayStation gamer?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, this is maybe the most unexciting version of what this could be. And it's also the most expected, just in terms of this is what has been talked about in all the reports, right? This is what Jason Schreier was saying. This is what Jeff Grubb was saying. And this is what I think, like, this is what I think the natural progression of all this was going to be, right? It's housekeeping, right? It is them going, all right, PlayStation Now doesn't really work as a brand. Like, enough people are subscribed, but PlayStation Now isn't exciting, right? It's not a thing that they sell, and it's not a thing that they are able to prop up and go, oh, everybody needs to get PlayStation Now. PlayStation Plus is that. PlayStation Plus is a thing that they treat as their primary subscription service that people should get into. And I think that's pretty much what this is. I think the Game Pass competitor conversation is interesting because I don't think this is a Game Pass competitor, at least in terms of strategy. You know, Gary's talking about the day and date thing, which I don't think was ever going to be a reality for PlayStation, just in the fact that PlayStation view their first-party PlayStation Studios titles as premium. Like, these are the best of the best. We're investing all this money into it, right? Like, you look at the Jim Ryan interview that he did with Christopher Dring over at GamesIndustry.biz, and he addresses it saying, I'm going to read directly from the article, right? Again, this is GI Biz. What it doesn't include, unlike its main competitor, are new first-party games that launch in the service at the same time as they come out at retail. Quote, we feel like we're in a good virtuous cycle with the studios, explains PlayStation CEO Jim Ryan. Quote, where the investment delivers success, which enables yet more investment, which delivers yet more success. We like that cycle, and we think gamers like that cycle, end quote. He continues, quote, in terms of putting our own games into the service or any of our services upon their release, as you know, or as you well know, that is not a road that we've gone down in the past, and it's not a road we're going to go down with this new service. We feel if we were to do that with the games that we make at PlayStation Studios, that virtuous cycle will be broken. The level of investment that we make in our studios would not be possible, and we think the knock-on effect on the quality of our games that we make would not be something that gamers want. And I think, I mean, basically what he's saying there is that, hey, if we were to put our games out day and date on the service, we won't be able to make these games as premium as you want it, right? We won't be able to make Last of Us Part 2 level of quality. We won't be able to make God of War Ragnarok level of quality because these are games we're able to make because we're charging $60, $70 for them. And there are games that are there to sell you on the console, but then also sell 10 million, 15 million, 20 million copies. And so I think in the way that PlayStation works, like inherently, just from the structure of the company, they just can't make that happen. In the way that Xbox, with Microsoft money, with all the acquisitions, with the varying, and I don't even want to say level of quality, because like quality, I think quality is a bad word in this context. I'll say the varying scope and the varying like premium levels of games that Xbox puts out on their side, right? I think there's a good range there in terms of, we have Psychonauts 2. Psychonauts 2 is a dope-ass game, right, that is getting Game of the Year nominations and Game of the Year awards. It's not necessarily, you're not seeing the same amount of budget put into it as a God of War Ragnarok or a Last of Us Part 2, but that is okay because we're able to sell this game and put it on Game Pass and make it work. We're able to put Sea of Thieves on Game Pass and make it work. We're able to put varying levels of games with varying levels of budgets on Game Pass and make it work, whereas PlayStation is so focused on that premium experience that is like the best of the best, the highest budget. And with that, I just don't think that works for the PlayStation strategy. I think there's a lot to break down here in terms of what this is, right? And like what works about it and what doesn't work. I think for me, what does work about it is the fact that, you know, comparing it to PlayStation Now, I think you are getting a better price overall, especially looking at the yearly. The monthly is kind of insane. Like,
it's almost twice as expensive if you pay monthly. That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the scary part. You got to break it down yearly. Yeah. And Jim Ryan said in that interview as well. He says that's the best value is yearly.
Yeah, and that's always been the case for PlayStation, right? Like, they really try to usher people into the yearly subscription because most people are paying yearly anyway. And so when I look at that $120 price point for PlayStation Plus Premium, I believe kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Chad, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think that is cheaper than if you were buying PS Plus and PlayStation Now separately. Like, if you pay that, or it's at least comparable, if not cheaper, right? And I think that's a good deal because you are getting seemingly better offerings when you talk about PlayStation, PS2, PSP games. When you're talking about PS5 games being included as well, PS5 games are a thing that are not on PlayStation right now. So if you're getting that, that's awesome. They're talking about Miles Morales. They're talking about Returnal. I'm with Gary in terms of the wait and see kind of thing of, hey, how good is this going to be really? Because for me, the defining factor is going to be the library. What PS1 games are we going to see? What PSP games are we going to see? What PS2 games are we going to see? Because the ones that are offered right now on PlayStation Now aren't a great offering. Like, we need way more than that. And so I'm kind of wait and see on that. I think if they bring out bangers for that, that's going to be really exciting. But I can easily see them not bringing out bangers. Like, I can easily see it being the same thing of, all right, here's 20 PS2 games. Here's 30 PS1 games, and they're the ones that you expect, and they're the ones that are re-released all the time. I think that'll be a bummer outcome. I think for me, the other bummer outcome out of all this is the PS3 games not being natively backwards compatible. That's, I think, slightly to be expected, but also for Project Spartacus, right, this new PlayStation Plus revamp that has been talked about in terms of being an answer to Xbox Game Pass, even though it's not really. I think what you want from them is to support their legacy the best they can. And when you look at Xbox, one thing I was talking about yesterday on KFGD is the fact that you have FPS boost, right? You have up-res. You have all these things that Xbox does to their games, to their old games, to make those games feel new and to make those games exciting to jump in again. Like, look at how, Mike, you jump into Saints Row. I jumped into Dishonored when Dishonored came out with FPS boost, and it felt like a new experience. I bought Prey, the new Prey, on my PlayStation 5, right? Played it a little bit and went, oh man, this kind of sucks, right? This is like 30 FPS, like this is not running well. And then I got it on my Xbox Series X, and the game ran so smoothly, right? Like it is those levels of support for legacy titles that makes that such an exciting thing on Xbox. And for the fact that for PlayStation, you can't even put in the money to make the PS3 games run on your system. Like I understand it's difficult. I understand cell processing. I understand that it would probably cost millions of dollars maybe to like get those things to work. But I don't think it's impossible, right? Like, I don't think people have made PS3 emulation work on PC. I think PlayStation has the resources to make PS3 emulation work on PlayStation. It's just the fact that for them, they don't see it as worth it. And I don't think they see it as worth it because they don't want to put in the work to make it worth it. I think they can put in the work to make it worth it, but they just don't want to. And so they're just resting on streaming because that gets the job done. I think that's a bummer. I think we should see PS3 native games. But yeah, like aside from all that, I'm very much like wait and see on library and all this stuff. I think this announcement is good and bad to sum it up.
I think it's easy to get sucked into the versus Game Pass side of the conversation, right? Mm-hmm. Because you know we like to we love the horse race of it all, and we like to pick winners and losers. And it is going to be an issue going forward, right? When as people go into the new year, like I said, right now, when people ask me if they should get a PlayStation or an Xbox, I say Xbox, because Game Pass is the differentiator. Are these new PlayStation Plus tiers really going to close that gap? Seems like they're going to close it a bit, but not all the way. The Jim Ryan statement, I think, is really interesting. He's basically, I don't know if he's saying what Microsoft's doing is not sustainable, or if he's simply saying we just can't afford to do what they do. But he's basically saying we can't afford to do this. Like, it doesn't make economic sense for us. So he's either saying it doesn't make economic sense for anyone, or he's saying that, again, Microsoft's just got deeper pockets than us, or they're willing to invest more than we are. But either way, I do think that's going to be the biggest thing that people look at going forward. It's not just about Halo and Forza and the really big Gears of War type titles. It's also about, you know, like Tunic and just, you know, or what was the last one I was playing recently? Artful Escape. You name it. Like every week on Game Pass there's new games dropping. And like I said, new games, right? New games is the key. Sony has a wonderful library. I think one of their strongest things that they've got in their arsenal is across five generations of PlayStations, they have built an incredible, incredible legacy, an incredible library archive of games. And by opening that up and making many more of them available, I think that's going to be a great part of the value going forward. But they're old games. They're legacy games. And as Blessing pointed out, then it doesn't seem like they are doing some of the FPS boosts or some of the other things that Microsoft are doing to kind of make those titles kind of sing again. I had a similar experience with Watch Dogs 2 recently. I'd never played Watch Dogs 2, but when they added FPS boost, I went in and played it, and it felt like playing it on current gen technology, because that FPS boost stuff is really, really great. Again, Microsoft was the first mover here, right? They have been developing this strategy and this side of things for a lot longer than Sony. So again, I don't think it's fair necessarily to compare a very mature Game Pass ecosystem to what Sony is just now rolling out. It's going to take time for them to build it out and figure out what's working and what's not, and build that library. And we'll see where they are in, like, after 6 months or a year of this. I'm glad they're doing it. I will definitely jump in. I'll probably come in maybe at the middle tier and see what that, and see what that bigger tier looks like. You know, once we actually know what the titles are. Again, there's like 700 things we don't know about PlayStation Plus Premium right now, right? We don't know what any of the games are. And we don't know how well the cloud stream performs. So there's a lot still to figure out. There'll be a lot of conversations going forward as this thing rolls out starting in June. But for right now, is it better than what Sony's currently offering? Yes. Is it as good as Game Pass? No.
Well said there, Gary.
I want to throw in there too is, like, one thing I find peculiar and interesting is the time limited game trials that are available at PlayStation Plus Premium thing, which is the highest tier. I find that to be such a weird move. And, like, one thing I've talked about before too, when this situation was getting leaked and reported, I don't like the 3-tier system. I do wish it was 2 tiers. I feel like 3 tiers gets complicated. Like, Mike, as we were reading through the news story, you know, I was keeping an eye on chat. And yeah, chat was like, bro, I am lost right now. I need a chart. Correct. I need somebody to break this all down. And it's the fact that, like, you look at these different tiers and it is, all right, at PlayStation Plus Essential, you're getting basically PS Plus now, or where you're getting right now with PS Plus, I should say, right? Which is the two monthly downloadable games. You get online, you get cloud storage, yada, yada, yada. You get up to PlayStation Plus Extra and it's like, cool, here's a bunch of PS5, PS4 games, right? And you get to PS Plus Premium and they're like, cool, here's game trials, here's old games, here's PS2, PSP, not PS Vita. And when you get into, like, the nitty-gritty of, like, what's being offered, it is ridiculous. I feel like this is a crazy way to do it. It feels very confusing. If you're new to the PlayStation ecosystem, I can't imagine, like
Sony's never been good at this, right? Again, PlayStation Plus versus PlayStation Now was genuinely confusing. No one could figure out what was really going on there. This is less confusing than that, but it's still confusing. I agree. One of my first thoughts is, why don't just have 2 tiers? That works very well for Microsoft Game Pass and Game Pass Ultimate. And the difference between the two is very, very simple. It's one big thing. You get PC games as well. Like, everyone understands the difference between the two things. But this, again, like, you look at that blog post, it's a lot to read. It makes me feel like one of those, you know, when games come out now, like, here's the regular edition, here's the silver edition, here's the gold edition, here's the platinum edition, here's the super duper mega edition. And you have that grid of all the little dots, like, oh, this one has that dot, but this one doesn't have the other dot. And you got to figure out, like, what you actually want. I don't know. I do think it's one tier too many. They're clearly experimenting. Maybe they'll get rid of one of the tiers after a while when after they've had a chance to see what which ones users are adopting and so forth. Again, the pricing is weird. Like, why pay monthly? Like, why pay twice as much? Like, who's going to want this for just a month, right? When you're being asked to pay, I think it's $120 for the premium tier, $10 a month. That, I actually think that's very reasonable for their premium tier, right? That's competitive with Game Pass. It's cheaper than Netflix. It's cheaper than a lot of streaming services out there. But if you pay for it monthly, it's $216 a month. That's almost twice as much. Why even offer that?
No way. Like, I have a few people are going to do that. Janet Garcia is going to do that because Janet Garcia likes spending money and redeeming nothing. But, like, most people are not going to do that. Two things I want to throw out too, right? Like, some people in chat are mentioning, like, it's not that confusing. For me and you, it's not that confusing, right? Like, I read through all this and I get it for the most part because I've been with PS Plus for the longest time, and I've also used PlayStation Now, and I understand what they're doing here. For Joe Schmo, who's jumping over to PlayStation for the first time because they've been on Xbox or they've been on PC or they've not had a console, this is confusing. Like, this is going to be confusing, and it's not the biggest deal in the world. I just think that 2 tiers would have worked a bit smoother and would have made more sense. That's first and foremost. Secondly, a lot of people in chat are saying Xbox does the same thing. Do you like that for Xbox? The fact that you have Xbox Gold and the 2 tiers for Xbox Game Pass? I think we've been preaching forever that they should just get rid of Gold.
No, they have made some moves in recent months to kind of clean that up as well. It's still a bit of a mess. I think they still have games with Gold and stuff like that. I don't really understand what the point is, why they're still keeping that around.
Yeah.
But listen, I wanted to go back to your opening statement when you said you thought it was the least exciting version of what they could have released. What's the opposite of that? What's the most exciting version? Given that you seem to think that the day and date, like putting like the next God of War or the next Last of Us or the next Uncharted, you know, that full Game Pass parody, if that's off the table, what would have been the most exciting realistic version of this for you?
I think anything that would have told us, hey, this is why you should be excited about this. I think there was nothing in this post that went, hey, PS Plus is evolving, and this is why this is a good thing. It felt very much like PS Plus is evolving, and here's the housekeeping of it. Here's all the nitty-gritty details. If it was like a, hey, we're offering old-school games like Metal Gear Solid, like Brave Fencing Musashi, right? Like, get on the top level of, like, here are the popular games, and then get on the low level of, like, not everybody played this, but for the people who know, you know, right? Like, show me the PS1 games, show me the PS2 games, talk about having Kingdom Hearts or Shadow Colossus or NBA Street Volume 2 or whatever games you're able to, Burnout 3, whatever games you're able to get on the service, tell me about those, right? I think that's first and foremost, showing me the games. I think secondly, and they try to do that with the PS5 and PS4 stuff, right? Because they talk about Returnal and Miles Morales, but like, I think for the legacy stuff, that's where some of that stuff would shine. I think then also the PS3 games, if you were able to play those natively on your PS5, I think that would be a game. I think the whole tone of this whole thing would change, right? I think you would see so many people get hyped of like, oh shit, I can just straight up download Metal Gear Solid 4 and play it right now on my PS5 without game streaming. I think that would be a hit. You know, I think it's a lot of the little things that like you look at it and it's the weird PlayStation decisions and the way that we talk about the weird Nintendo decisions. Like PlayStation every now and then does a similar thing where it's like, all right, like I see what you're doing here, but why don't you do it this way? Like, why don't you put in the extra effort? If they put in the extra effort in all these little ways, right? Give me the PS3 games natively. Show me the PS1, PS2 libraries. Like, show me why this thing is a banger as opposed to just a restructuring of what you already have. I think that would be the way more exciting way to do it.
Yeah, I think I think you may well be right. And you know, to your point about not knowing what the games are. Yeah, we talked about that a couple of times this morning. I think it's right. They still have a couple of months, right? Between now and then. They could do another reveal and here's some of the titles and here's the full library or whatever. But I just wonder if by not doing that all at once, and like they could have done like a really cool video, right, where they threw a bunch of classic titles at you and kind of knocked your socks off. Instead, what we got was just very dry, almost like an intra-company memo, you know, this kind of very dry, you know, corporate kind of thing where it doesn't convey a lot of excitement. Again, there's a lot of like, yeah, but what are the games? Like the actual key thing. Okay, 700 sounds like a lot, but what are the games? Are they going to be the games that we actually care about playing? I don't know. It just feels like I've been watching. I was up early this morning because I didn't sleep particularly well. And I was scrolling through all of the information since it came out and looking at some of the Twitter hot takes and, you know, some of the YouTube videos and people responding to it. And it seems like the collective response is a bit of a shrug, really. And I wonder if the ultimate offering might be better than how people are responding to it right now, just because Sony, if anything, seem like they're kind of underselling it. They just didn't convey a lot of excitement.
I think it is 100% is worth waiting and seeing, like, all right, how do they talk about this in the next coming months, right? Like, you know, it being announced for June feels far away, but like we're at the end of March, right? Like, yeah, we're a month away practically, right? It feels like 3 months because it's March, April, June, but like we're practically a month away from this thing. It's sooner than it feels. And so I think in the next month, as they advertise it, we'll get more of a clear idea, and then we'll be able to judge a bit more clearly like what this thing is going to be. But it's just, when you look at the history of PlayStation and how they treat stuff, I'm like, you know, people are like, oh, you're going to see the PS2 games, you're going to see the PS1 games. And I'm like, but are they going to be the ones that we think they're going to be? Are they just going to be the offerings that like you just got in the PlayStation Classic little console that came out and was kind of a dud? Is it going to be the same offerings that we got on PS2 for PS Now, right? Like, I want them to go above and beyond, and they're not with this kind of stuff specifically. PlayStation is not known to go above and beyond, but I'm still, you know, I'm excited to see how they talk about it in the next month, because I want to be sold. I want to be excited for this.
Guys, I appreciate both of your initial impressions getting in on this one, and I'd like to hear from our viewers out there. So right after this quick ad break, we're going to get some reader questions in about the brand new PlayStation Plus tiers. But until then, let's get a word from our sponsors.
Shout out to Uplift for sponsoring this episode. I've been using my Uplift desk for well over a year now. I love the thing so much, I decided to write a rap song for them.
The build quality is real good. It's made of real high quality wood.
They didn't ask for it. I just did it anyway. Getting my Uplift desk immediately improved my mood. Whenever I'm on shows, I'm standing up, I'm feeling a lot more energetic. And also, I kind of feel like I was just maybe creating some bad habits sitting down at a desk all day. I would move my legs up, I'd sit underneath my legs on my chair, and eventually all that stuff just created really bad back pain for me. Choose from laminate, whiteboard, bamboo, solid wood, butcher block, or even custom solid wood or laminate options. Uplift Desk won New York Times Wirecutter's Best Standing Desk from 2019 to 2022. And while I'm at it, I'm just going to give them an award as well. Best standing desk that I use in my bedroom from when they sent it to me until now. Uplift Desk have a 15-year warranty. They ship the same day you order with free shipping and free return shipping. So if you've been feeling the effects of sitting at a desk for 8 hours a day, maybe you want some more energy in your life, maybe you want to do squats in the middle of a Zoom call or something, uplift your life. Go to kindoffunny.com/uplift.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for taking a moment with our ads. Now let's jump into some reader mail. Remember, you can write in each and every weekday to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames if you support us over on Patreon. And I want to kick off with the tier structure and talk about it with Gary and Blessing here. Gary and Blessing, there seems to be some question marks when it comes to the tier structures you guys have talked about before, but the big question mark that I'm getting from Frankfurter and Grezik, who both wrote in with really the same question, and it is like this. Is it odd that the highest paywall you get classic games, but the modern games are at the middle paywall? Blessing, do you feel like that is the right way on the tier structure of having the highest tier with all the classic games hidden behind that? Or should that be the modern games behind the highest paywall?
Mike, first and foremost, I got to issue an apology. All right. I forgot. I forgot about one of the most important months of the year. And that is.
Okay.
I left out May. I'm sorry, everybody. I said it was a month away. It's 2 months away, everybody. I apologize. May, I'm sorry for the disrespect. But also, I don't think this. If I was the head of PlayStation, if I was Jim Ryan, maybe I would do it differently. But I also see. I think I understand why they're doing this, right? Like, in reality, most people are going to want the modern games, right? Most people want the PS4 and PS5 games. And I think it makes sense for them to go, all right, let's make that a lower tier. I think it is the hardest of the hardcore that is going to want the legacy stuff, that is going to want the PS1, PS2, PSP, PS3 games. And that's why you make it at the highest tier, because that's going to be the bigger sell there. I think if you make the PS4, PS5 games at the highest tier, I think that ticks people off more so than makes it an exciting thing.
And just so we're clear, I think this is I think a product of the confusion that we're talking about here. It's just I don't know if the person writing in the letter is confused, but I can certainly see how you could read it either way. Each tier has everything in the tiers below it plus the other stuff, right? So it's not like if you're coming at the highest tier, you don't get the classic games. You get the classic games plus the modern games. So it's like you'll notice when they like, I guess, you know, this tier has everything in the previous tiers plus this. So, but the question is, should it have been ordered differently? Should the modern games been in the middle tier, and then the classic games thrown as an extra bonus for the premium one? I don't know. I'm sure they put a lot of thought into it. Again, we'll get a better sense when we know what the actual games are and when it's rolled out. But yeah, I mean, to some extent, this is a little bit of the confusion that we're talking about. So this tier has this game, but not that game. I don't know. It's a little bit granular in terms of how they break it down. Again, certainly compared to, you know, other tiered offerings that we look at, where it's just very simple. There's two tiers, and with the super tier, you get this one extra big thing, and it's very straightforward. I can definitely see there being a lot of consumer confusion going forth as people are trying to figure out which subscription is right for them.
Blessing, I like how you put that, because I agree with you on that. Like, the modern games are what I'm coming for, right, Bless? So I look for that. I like that at that middle tier compared to the higher tier, where I'll get more of the classic game selection along with the modern games. But I do look to get those modern titles on the PS4 and the PS5. I look forward to seeing the library. I guess another question for you, Bless, in particular, because me and Gary, and you've brought it up before, is the downloadable side of the classic games. Are you at least happy? I know we talked about the PlayStation 3 still being cloud titles. Are you excited, though, that you get a number of older games downloadable at this point?
That's to be expected. Like, it was that way with PlayStation Now, where you had the PS2 games downloadable. And so, like, yeah, like, it's a good move. It's nice to see PS1 games there as well. But it's not, for me, it's not a surprising thing. For me, it's like, okay, good. Like, this better be the case. Because if for some reason it was like, hey, we're streaming these games now, and we're expanding that library, and it's all going to be streaming instead of downloading, I think it would be more like theory for me than anything. But yeah, I think it's a good move. I just hope that, like, the thing that I hope for is that they are still working, and this is me not trying to, like, be super hopeful, right? But, like, I hope they're still working on PS3, getting those games natively downloaded. I hope it's a thing of, hey, the technology is hard, but in the way that on Xbox we saw the gradual growth of backwards compatibility and then work on it over the years and then eventually add in cool features and add in and expand that library. I hope it's the same thing going on for PlayStation where it's like, hey, slowly we're going to happen, right? It's not going down in 2022, but maybe we can happen in 2023 or 2024. I hope that's the case.
I think one of the things, sorry, Matt, I was going to say, I think one of the things that we didn't talk about enough really is the cloud streaming element of this, because there are some really interesting elements to this. I don't think we mentioned at all, did we, that this means you'll be able to stream these games on PC. That's cool, right? So, you know, you don't even need a PlayStation if you want to get in on some of this stuff. But there's also a lot of unknowns, right? Like it kind of sucks that because of that weird choice they made with the cell processor many, many years ago with the PlayStation 3, that there is an entire generation of games. And there's some banger games on PlayStation 3, some really good games that we want to go back and revisit that are only going to be available through cloud streaming. So if you don't have a great internet connection, forget about it. And as we know from Xbox cloud streaming and Stadia and other systems where, you know, it's still not 100% perfect, even if you have a really great internet connection, that cloud streaming can still be a little bit stuttery, a little bit messy. And again, I'm not speaking from a position of any inside knowledge here, but I'm gonna make a guess just based on what anyone knows about the two companies that Sony does not have and has not made the same investment in time and money in cloud infrastructure that Microsoft is a company that is pivoted almost entirely to cloud infrastructure and is in fact one of the backbones of the internet with all of its, you know, cloud infrastructure. Sony's nowhere near that, so it remains to be seen if their cloud service is quite simply going to be as good as what, you know, an internet cloud native company like Microsoft or, you know, Amazon with Luna or Google with Stadia, what they're able to do.
Follow-up question for you, Bless, on that. Actually, I'd love to get some clarification. Maybe you know. Of course, me and Gary coming from the Xbox side, you know, Xbox is building this ecosystem and the ability to stream off the cloud with the phone and with the PC, allowing us not to have the console hardware. Is that what this is offering us with the tier? Are you telling me that I could stream a catalog of PlayStation games on PC without needing the hardware? Or is this going to be something similar with my PS Vita where it's going to be pinging off of the hardware? Do you know, Blessing, if that's how this is going to go?
Wait, that's a question again. So, like, are you asking if streaming works? Like,
I'm streaming on PC. Does that mean I don't need a PlayStation at all? I can subscribe to a PlayStation tier and stream a catalog of PlayStation games without any sort of PlayStation already.
Yes, I believe that is the case. Yeah, okay. Where it is, you're coming in, you buy the PlayStation plus a premium subscription now, mm-hmm. and then you basically have access to a bunch of PlayStation games that are available on the service that are available through streaming. It works exactly like that, which is really cool.
I think you will at least need a controller. I don't think you'll be able to plug in an Xbox or a generic controller. You're going to need some kind of DualShock or DualSense controller. But yeah, isn't that how PS Now currently works? I don't think you need a PlayStation for that either.
That is how it currently works. Yeah, all you need is a controller, and it works that way. And I assume that this is going to work the exact same way that PlayStation Now worked.
Now, do you think that catalog will bring in people that don't have the PlayStation, let's say PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, or maybe you're just on the outside of the console ecosystem? Do you think that's a big draw for people?
I think if they expand it, I think if they add way more games and the games are dope, then that'll bring people in. Nowadays, I don't hear many people talk about how they're playing PlayStation games on PC. I know they're out there for sure, but it's not a thing that I hear evangelized as much. It's not a thing I hear about people. I hear people go like, hey, like I don't have a PlayStation, but it's all cool because I'm playing these games this way. One thing I do want to check in though is that this is another kindoffunny.com/you're wrong thing. Because as far as I can tell, this might not be the case, right? Like PS5 games available on the service aren't streamable on PC. I think it is just the classic games and then PS4 games. I think that's a bummer. Like if they can bring in the PS5 games, I think that'll be the draw that you're talking about, Mike, where it mm-hmm, is like, mm-hmm. oh shit, I can play Returnal on PC through streaming. I think that would be an exciting thing, but it doesn't seem like that is the case here, which I think is a missed opportunity. But again, it might be something that they're working on that might also come back to the Jim Ryan thing that he's talking about in the interview, in terms of that devalues our first party games and we want to be able to release the exciting polished up versions of these PS5 games on PC when they're ready, which is like maybe a year or two after, so that, that repeated sales success.
And that's another differentiator between Game Pass, or at least Game Pass Ultimate, and what we're talking about here, is that, you know, when we go back to those big first party titles that launch in Game Pass, whether it be Age of Empires Forza, Halo, or what have you. Those are all on PC day one as well. Sony's, you know, there's not going to be a God of War Ragnarok day one PC.
Let's end this PlayStation conversation with one more final reader mail coming in from BJ Bernardo. That's a two-parter. He writes, hey, y'all, how long after first-party studios launches will it, or first-party studio games launch, will it take to show up in PlayStation Now and, or in the new PlayStation Now? And do you all think that Sony will get aggressive and try to get third-party studio games for the new PlayStation Plus? Do you think they'll have third-party studio games launch day one on the service? So let's break it down into part one. Gary Whitta and Blessing, how aggressive do you think PlayStation will be with those first party games launching into the service later on? What is the time frame? 6 months, a year? And also a nice clear as day example, MLB The Show 2022 comes out next month, day and date on Game Pass. Do we see this hitting the PlayStation service as an added benefit, or do you think it will still release at that $60 full price title and then later on into the service? Blessing, I'll kick it to you first. What's the time frame? What do you think?
This is one that fascinates me because I look at Xbox, right, and Games of Gold, and you've seen how with Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, as that has expanded and gotten better and better and better and has had doper games launch on it, Games of Gold has gotten worse and worse. And you look at Games of Gold and it's like, what the fuck are these games, right? The last few years of PlayStation Plus games have been pretty phenomenal. Like you've had quite a few games launch day and date, right? You've had Maquette, you've had Operation Tango, you've had Hunter's Arena Legends, you've had Final Fantasy 7 launched, but it wasn't integrated. But like you've had a lot of games actually, Destruction All-Stars launch day and date, Bugsnax. I wonder with this new form of PlayStation Plus, if you see more games launch for that second tier, and then you see PS Plus games get a bit more not as exciting as they have been. I hope that's not the case. I hope PS Plus games still stay dope and still stay exciting, because I think that has been such a great offering for it. But if that's the case, I don't know if they can have their cake and eat it too, where we're getting banger PS Plus games and then also games added onto the service for that library tier from third parties that are day and date and are also exciting. Like that is the thing that I don't know if they can balance. I do think that we might get surprises every now and then. We got Shadow Warrior 3 that dropped for PlayStation Now at the beginning of the month, and that was day and date. Yep. And that is a thing that is not normal for PS Plus or for PS Now. And so like if they're doing that for Shadow Warrior 3, I wonder if that is a sign of things to come. And maybe we will see third party games here and there launch in that way, especially for developers who are like, hey, we want to launch our game on Game Pass. Like let's take Ubisoft for example. Rainbow Six Extraction launched for Game Pass and then launched as a premium game obviously for PlayStation. What if for Ubisoft they want that free tier, right? They want that subscription tier for to get people in to build that audience so that they can evangelize that game to their friends, or so that they can get microtransactions and get revenue that way, right? Like I think there's a cool future where it is you're seeing certain games launch on Game Pass and PS Plus day and date on both services at the same time, because that can be beneficial for certain types of games and certain developers sometimes. And so I have certain expectations that, yeah, we'll see games launch day and date, but I don't know if that's going to be the core strategy for this. I think it is still going to be the PS Plus PS Now that you know.
Yeah, PS Plus has had some good stuff. Don't forget Fall Guys as well, Blessing, blew up almost entirely because it launched on PlayStation Plus. And you mentioned some other good ones as well. Like you said, Bugsnax and the Destruction All-Stars was a fucking train wreck. But like the point was I got to try it, and some of that Discovery Engine stuff that we always get so excited about when we talk about Game Pass, like the opportunity to try games that you otherwise would not have purchased, is really, really helpful. Maybe this game trials feature that, again, they're hinting at very vaguely will help do some of that stuff. But that's one of the greatest things about Game Pass right now, is the ability to kind of try things that you might not and discover things that you might not otherwise have found. And it's not just about the big, you know, first party titles, but again, everything, like whether it be Tunic or whether it be a Memoir Blue, which is a game that I've been interested in, that I was, oh shit, that's on Game Pass. Like every week it's like, oh wow, I didn't know that was on Game Pass, and there's some cool little discovery. You have to remember though that every single time a game like that from a third party shows up on that service, whether it be on PlayStation Plus or whether it be on Game Pass, Microsoft's paying that company to put that game on there, right? Sony paid Mediatonic a lot of money to put Fall Guys on PlayStation Plus. And make it exclusive to them for a set period, just like Microsoft, you know, pays third party publishers and developers to get their games on Game Pass. So they're, you know, they're sinking a lot of money into building these libraries and building these ecosystems, just the same way that Netflix spends all this money, you know, buying and building and creating original content, so they can just like keep saying, you know, our value proposition is the best. Look how much amazing original content we have. There's this huge race to spend money right now in the content streaming business, and we're seeing it, you know, on the game side as well. The question is, who's got more appetite? Who's got deeper pockets? Who's more willing to really go to the mat to spend the money to make their offering, you know, like an offer you can't refuse? Microsoft's way ahead in that right now, but as they should be, they've been doing it for a lot longer. Sony is just getting started. I'm sure their strategy will adapt and evolve as, you know, they get deeper into this and they get their data back on what's working and what's not working. So it really, really is too early to say. We'll just go back to what we said at the beginning. I just wish there had been a bit more detail on what we're actually going to get, because right now it's still very abstract.
Mike, a couple things too, I'll throw at you, right? To your question, please, of the timing of when you see big first-party games come around. Right now, we're looking at Returnal that's coming to the service, and that is about a year after Returnal is coming out, right? And you're seeing Miles Morales come to the service too. I think that could be indicative of, yeah, maybe it is after year one, you're seeing certain first-party titles, maybe not all of them, but like certain cool ones make their way to the service, and I think that'll be dope. So that's first and foremost. But then the other thing I'll throw in there too is, PlayStation as a company, they're changing a lot. You look at the acquisition of Bungie and you look at what they're doing with live service games. We've not necessarily seen the fruits of that yet, but you know you've had the acquisition of Haven and they're working on something live service. Again, you have Bungie, you have other PlayStation studios that are working on multiplayer games, and they've talked about wanting to launch 10 live service games in the next few years. I could see through that and through certain partnerships also with PlayStation, whether it be Deviation Studios, Firewalk Studios, a lot of the partnerships that they've made that aren't necessarily owned first party studios but are games being developed for PlayStation Studios, I could see opportunities open for those games to make their way day and date to PS Plus. Because, you know, again, you're talking about multiplayer, you're talking about building a player base, and you're talking about games that are different kinds of games. Like, these aren't the God of Wars, these aren't the Last of Us Part Twos, these aren't the Ghost of Tsushimas. These are games that are trying to live and thrive based on player base and based on, you know, ongoing transactions, ongoing keeping this thing alive. And I think PS Plus could be a great avenue to make that happen, right? Like, what if we launched Haven Studios game, Bungie's next game, X, Y, and Z games as a service game on PS Plus at that second tier to get people in? I think that persuades a lot of people to buy in. And also, I think that could be good for the games as well.
Well, a lot to break down there. A great conversation between you and Gary. I appreciate you, Bless, for joining us to talk all things PlayStation. Remember that the newest episode of PS I Love You XOXO has been delayed till Thursday to talk about all of this big time news. So if you want more in-depth discussions with Greg, Janet, and Blessing, make sure to tune in to their podcast coming up later on in the week. But I will say, Blessing, Gary, in the gamesindustry.biz article, 50 million subscribers over on PlayStation Plus, and now a lot of choices being made by these PlayStation fans out there. Very interesting to see where they go and what shakes out in the coming months. But Bless, if you can stay on for just one more, because let's move on to story number two. Zelda Breath of the Wild 2 delayed in a video posted on the official Nintendo channel states that the sequel to The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild has been delayed until spring 2023. In the video, producer of The Legend of Zelda series, Aji Anuma, if I mispronounce that, my apologies, shared the updates on the game's progression and how it will be delayed to spring 2023 instead of its targeted date of 2022 to extend their development a bit. Noting the game is set to take place on ground and the sky, plus now offer a wider variety of features like new encounters and new gameplay elements. Blessing, you hear that. Are you saddened by the delay?
I am sad, but I'm not surprised. You know, whenever I hear that a Zelda game has been delayed, it's kind of par for the course. You know, like, that's what Zelda games do. They get delayed. And of course, there's the famous quote of a game that gets delayed once comes out one day and it's not bad, right? I butchered that quote, but you know what I'm saying. It's a bit of a bummer. But like, I think there's this year for video games is an incredible year. And, you know, we just got Elden Ring. We're going to get Starfield. We might get God of War Ragnarok, right? There's hella games that are on the verge of coming out this year. And I think it's an exciting year nonetheless, and I am fine with waiting. Take the time to polish. It's a pandemic. Games are hard to make, right? Like, there's a lot of reasons why this could have been delayed. I think the wild thing about this, though, is that this game coming out spring 2023 is going to mean that it'll come out 6 years after the first Breath of the Wild. That is wild. Like, that is that's a lot of time to be working on this game. A game that, like, for me, once they announced it, I assumed that it was going to be like a Majora's Mask situation of, all right, cool, you got the assets, you got the engine, you got the base gameplay loop. Cool, this is going to be very iterative. Surely this game is going to take 2 or 3 years to make. We are about to be 6 years later, and this game is about to come out.
It's a longer wait from Skyward Sword to the first Breath of the Wild, which was a little over 5 years.
God.
Gary, what do you think about Breath of the Wild 2 being pushed to spring? Are you still excited for this game?
Yeah, of course, and I'm not even really that sad about it. Well, like, we'll live, you know. It's not like there's not going to be like a massive, you know, tranche of games to play this holiday season. You know, it's not going to leave a massive void. There's going to be a ton of stuff to play, and I suspect Nintendo's probably got some holiday stuff we don't even know about yet. There's going to be other things to play. And listen, when the developer of one of the best games ever made in all of history gets up and says, hey, listen, we're going to need a few more months to make sure this one is as good as we want it to be. What are you going to do? Tell him to fuck off? No, of course, don't be silly. Like, give the guy the time and the team to talk. These people know what they're doing. Trust that they know what they're doing, and they're going to get you the game in the right shape and in the right time. And again, we've seen the opposite, right? We've seen what happens with Cyberpunk. We've seen what happens with Battlefield 2042. We've seen what happens when they try to release a game to hit some arbitrary fucking fiscal, you know, fourth quarter economic, you know, target or whatever. That never works out. So it's clearly the right decision. Yes, for people that are like really, really anxious to play the new game, it's a bit sad that they're going to have to wait a little bit longer. But trust me, it's all going to work out in the end. Remember when Animal Crossing New Horizons got delayed and we were like, oh no, what a bummer. And then it ended up coming out at exactly the right time, saved the pandemic for a lot of people, sold what, 35-40 million copies or something, one of the all-time best-selling games ever made. Like, people have a lot of things to say about Animal Crossing New Horizons. No one really talks about the fact it was delayed anymore. That's something that's just been lost in history because it's like the least relevant thing to talk about now when you talk about, you know, a game that everybody loved. And so it will be with Breath of the Wild 2. It'll come out next year. I'm sure it'll be totally great. People will be obsessing over it. And the fact that it was delayed for a few months is something that will just be like, it'll be a footnote in history. Who cares?
Yeah, somebody that is playing Zelda Breath of the Wild for the first time right now, I am super excited about the sequel coming up. And spring 2023 sounds like a great one for me. I don't have to wait super long, unlike everybody else who has waited for 6 years, as Barrett and Blessing has said. So I'm excited. I can't wait. And yeah, more power to the developers. Get that game looking right, really good. And we're excited for spring 2023. Gary, let's move into our final news story of today. Fortnite no build mode is now permanent. In a tweet coming from Epic Games, welcome to Fortnite zero build. No building, no problem. It's all about your combat skills on the ground. They released with a short little fun teaser trailer about that. Kevin, you are my number one Fortnite guy. We have been playing for the past 9 days on the no build mode. It looks like it is going to be officially permanent, which means you will have different options. And Gary, we talked about this on the XCast.
We did.
Just like PUBG with, you know, third over the shoulder.
And first person, and yeah, they split person. It into two. Yeah.
Now you get to look at it just like that. They're splitting into two. Kevin, I'll kick it to you first. What's your excitement level on no build mode staying forever? And what do you think about splitting the player base?
I mean, I'm stoked. Like, will this lead to more bots in my servers? You know, that's not necessarily a bad thing, you know? I like the low skill players sometimes. Yeah, I'm stoked. I mean, I haven't looked into this at all. I'm very curious what it does for the like battle pass and stuff like that. Is it everything builds the same way that it are all the missions accessible on both? That's what I'm most curious about.
Oh, wow.
And I hope to find out more later today.
Very well said right there, Kevin. You got to think about the missions and the progression, how they'll balance the two of them. Gary, let's talk about splitting the player base. Okay, you know, we usually talk about these games, they really want to hold on to everything and keep all these players in one spot so you don't have one side of the game dying off as opposed to the other side. Are you happy with this split? Do you think this is the right move for Fortnite as it's always been a building game in this battle royale?
as you rightly recall from last Friday, Mike, I did completely call this on the X-Cast when I said they might keep this around. I mean, I suspect a lot of people predicted this might happen, especially after the kind of the time limited no build event that they're doing right now. Seems to have been so popular, and it is, I think, analogous to what happened with PUBG, which started as a third person over the shoulder game. People increasingly wanted first person. They added it, and then that became kind of the most popular version. People still play third person, but like the real hardcore, the main PUBG player base is now over in first person mode, and that basically became the default version of the game. And I do wonder if something similar will happen here. Somebody made the point. I read something, I think yesterday, was talking about how like the building might be the thing that puts new players off. It's certainly the thing that has put me off when I've looked at Fortnite. I've never really jumped in and played it. I've kind of looked, I know a lot of people enjoy it, and I've got friends that play it. Maybe I could jump in, but I watch people building these structures super, super fast. I'm like, oh God, I'm not going to be able to get my head around that. I know how to run around and shoot people in a battle royale arena. I've done that in many games, but the building just kind of felt like that's an element that I'm just not going to be able to catch up to other people with. Since they've removed it, there's now a slightly greater chance that I would go in and play it, you know, in terms of a battle royale straight up, you know, shooter that I can get my head around. It is interesting though, isn't it? We talked about this on the X-Cast as well, is that building was originally what set Fortnite apart from the rest, right? It originally started as, it was just building, right? It was a kind of a tower defense game. And then they added battle royale. It was dying. Nobody was playing it. They added battle royale. That obviously took it to another level entirely, and the rest is history. And so now the it's kind of interesting that the building component, which is what literally Fortnite was built on, kind of physically and metaphorically, is now kind of this vestigial thing that maybe it's now so successful that it's actually kind of holding them back, and they're going to get rid of it. Like it's just going to be kind of discarded like a snake shedding its skin or something. And obviously there are people that really, really like the building. I think specifically competitive players who have gotten really, really good at the building. It's a key part of their strategy. Yes, it's good that is going to continue to be there. But yeah, to see the game fork into these two different ongoing permanent versions, it's going to be really interesting to see what, I don't know if Epic's going to release numbers going forward or whatever. Maybe we'll just anecdotally, we'll be able to kind of figure it out. But it's going to be interesting to see what becomes kind of the alpha version going forward. It might very well be the no build version.
Yeah, Gary, it is very interesting to see what will this look like a year from now, 5 years from now, right? Like, what is Fortnite? Does it just turn off the building? Do we go back to building only? I am excited to see that. But for me as a casual player, this is a massive dub, as the young kids say, right, Gary? Like, I am pumped up about this. I've loved the no build mode with Kevin, Joey, and the gang here at Kinda Funny. I think it's brought new life, and I think a lot of players have come back to Fortnite to enjoy that. I come to Fortnite for the cool, unique IPs that they've teamed up with, for the massive concerts that they've held, the fun, cartoony world that they've built, right? But for me, Fortnite's gunplay is just all right. It's not top tier like you see in Apex and in Call of Duty Warzone, right? And my worry is, if we go away from the building, is that gunplay enough for me to stick around? And yes, I like it right now for the initial 9 days that we've had it with, but in the long term, 3 months, 6 months, a year from now, am I going to go back to Fortnite just for the no build mode? Or will I just say, well, if I'm not building, I need to go back over to Call of Duty where the gunplay feels tighter and is better? Or should I go to Apex where the movement is better than this, right? And so there is a big juggle for me right now where I like the no build mode, but like, if I'm not going to build, I'm going to go somewhere else because that's where the gun plays a little bit tighter and better. So it will be interesting to see.
The key is, though, that no one's having anything taken away from them, right? They're adding an extra mode, right? It's not like if you love to build forts, that version's being replaced. It's still going to be there. The question's going to be where a player's going to go. And, you know, obviously Fortnite has enough of a player base that it could split 50-50 down the middle and still have two very, very healthy games.
Mm-hmm. And so, Gary, before we end the show, we do have breaking news coming from one Mr. Greg Miller and Tim Buddy. I have been informed, sad news, folks, that Everybody's Golf online services will be turned off as of September 30th, 2022. So if you still love Everybody's Golf, if you want to play Andy and Nick and Greg and the team here, Kinda Funny, The online services will be turned off September 30th, 2022.
Like, you fucker, when you said, you had me there for a second when you said sad news for like 2 seconds. I thought, oh no, it's like something important happened. And then you started talking about fucking everybody's golf. Son of a
bitch. Gary, you know what? That news is just so far away. But if I wanted to know what is coming to the mom and grab shops today, where can I look?
The official news. Sorry, you've got me. I'm still going. The official list of upcoming software on each and every platform, as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday. No one else is going to do it.
Yeah, I think we put Kevin to sleep by how long this show has gone.
What is it, by the way, with Greg getting a kiss of death for games? As soon as he likes a game, fucking everybody's golf dead, the Vita dead, Avengers dying.
Oh, thank you.
If Greg Miller tells you he likes your game, you are fucked.
Sorry, Mike. I didn't know if you were gonna do the jingle or not.
Oh, okay, Kevin. So no, people come for your jingle always.
Because I did do it.
Oh, I don't have it on, so I probably couldn't. My apologies.
All right. No worries.
But out today, as of Tuesday, March 29, 2022. This is what you can look forward to: Crusader Kings 3 on PS5, Xbox Series X and S consoles, Crystar on Switch. IKEA on PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. In Nightmare on PS5 and PS4. Pure Crosswords on Switch. Elder Scrolls Online Ascending Tide coming to Xbox Series consoles, Xbox One, PS5, PS4. Vengeful Heart coming to Xbox Series consoles, Xbox One, and Switch. WRC-10, the official game, coming to Switch. Abermore coming to PC, Forward Escape the Fold coming to PC and Mac, TFC the Fertile Crescent coming to PC and Mac, Jitsu Squad, my apologies, coming to PC, Patrick's Parabox coming to PC and Mac. So those are your games releasing right now. Of course, each and every day here live, you can help keep us honest and correct us during the show by writing into Kind of Funny, You're Wrong. So let's check really quick what we got wrong here, Gary.
Hey, Mike, I don't know if you mentioned it on the list, but I just saw a tweet because we were talking about Apex. PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X, and I guess S as well, versions of Apex Legends launched today. They finally did the next-gen version.
Really? Oh, so, sweet, Gary.
Apex fans who have been waiting for that next-gen hardware boost, you're going to get it. Well, you are. Okay. You've got it now.
We got a couple right here I'm going to balance before we get out of here. So one coming from the nanobiologist, he says, the PlayStation Plus extra tier specifically says that PS4 and PS5 games are download only, not streamable. So for the question of, hey, can you stream these games anywhere? He says, no, you cannot stream modern games right there. Frank Furter says, Gary, you can currently stream PS Now games on PC. You need a DualShock 4 controller to play, and it's streaming only, no downloads. Mm-hmm. And then one more final one coming from a couple of best friends says, Sony invested in Azure servers with a partnership with Microsoft, going against what Gary said about them not investing in their streaming platform. We just haven't seen them been used yet.
Now's the chance to show what they've been investing in, right? If they're going to do all this streaming stuff going forward.
I was going to say, a thing to note there, it's like, they're investing in Microsoft's streaming service, you know, not their own, because that failed miserably, right?
Maybe. I don't know about the streaming service. But
yeah,
like
they were trying to build out their own one, and it just, they had no success.
Yeah, it makes sense that they would have to partner with someone. If you want to do something like scale on the internet, you've got to go talk to Google or Amazon or Microsoft and partner up and basically rent their infrastructure, unless you're willing to spend billions of dollars and years of your own building your own, you know, your own massive cloud infrastructure, which most companies obviously are not going to do that.
Here's the host for the rest of the week. On Wednesday, you'll have Blessing and Tam, ? Thursday, you'll have Greg and Tim, and then Friday, you'll end the week with Greg and Bless. Of course, if you are watching live right now on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, after this, you'll have the fun Pros versus Joe's Returnal Challenge. Myself and Nick are going to tag team up in the new co-op mode versus S Andy and Blessing to see who can get the furthest in Returnal. And then after that, we'll go check out the Challenge Tower with Blessing and Andy. But of course, if you can't catch that live, you can catch that over on VOD on youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. With that, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those who have subscribed at the silver tier or above on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, be good to one another, play some video games, and let us know what PlayStation tier you're subscribing to come June. Peace, everybody.